You are listening to episode number 119 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
I can hear what you're thinking, all your doubts and fear. And if you look in my eyes in time, you'll find the reason I'm here. In time all things shall pass away. In time you may come back someday to live once more or die once more. But in time your time will be no
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 119 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, and forever will be, I am your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me tonight, as always, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Tonight, the Yankees fight the Boston Red Sox. I actually hope the Red Sox win. I gotta say it. I doubt they do, but
it
I hope they
matter,
win.
They're gonna be at the bottom of the barrel anyways.
They're dead in the water.
Oh, yes, and lastly, Cyclops believes in expendable losses. Excuse me, acceptable losses. And there you have it.
He's hit.
I know who that's about.
And, of course, the man who wants to be Tim Drake's partner, Arnold Alfred.
What up?
Oh! And do we mean that in a literal sense or figurative sense?
Well, not
Red
partner,
Robin,
but
yum.
Just partner. Partner, like partner in crime. And, of course, the man... the man whose New England Patriots are barely at 500, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Fuck Buffalo, man.
Didn't
fuck them all.
Y'all beat them, though, so I don't
know. Yeah, I know.
But you're still at 500. Yeah, you suck.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
I was so hoping it.
At least I go for my hometown team and don't shy away from it, okay?
I don't live in Dallas nor Houston, so I don't have a hometown team anyways.
But you live in Texas, so you should choose one or the other.
No.
Yeah.
No. Anyways,
yeah.
We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We're a weekly Marvel podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether it's comics, videos, video games, TV shows, cartoons, and hopefully next week, depending on the certain set of outcomes, porn. So let's get right into it. Brian, it seems that the recent success of Marvel's creative committee for the Marvel Studios with Brian Bendis and Joe Quesada et al., Fox Studios similarly wants the same thing. They've hired their own comic book guy to be a quote-unquote consultant for their movies. Care to explain who this mysterious man is?
Yes, yes. Recently, 20th Century Fox, in an effort to develop new avenues for their X-Men and Fantastic Four franchises, which they still own, technically, they've hired comic book scribe Mark Millar to help consult on the adaptions of these properties and the future of their projects. You may know Mark Millar from various individual projects such as The Secret Service, Superior, Nemesis, but he's also done a whole ton of books for Marvel, including The Ultimates, Civil War, and he did the Old Man Logan run back on Wolverine, and he also has his own imprint, Miller World. And so he will be consulting with 20th Century Fox on different angles on the X-Men and Fantastic Four franchises, both new and rebooted. So yeah, that's about the size of it.
Well,
yay, Mark Millar for the win! Woo!
Well, the thing about Mark Millar is the fact that he gets a lot of shit for being the Michael Bay of comics.
Yeah,
which he, in some instances he is, but some of the stuff he's written great stuff over the years, and the fact that this guy likes comics, he likes superhero comics. So I really like that Fox is saying, okay, we need to get one of these guys and see what we're doing. Not that you know. Not to say that X-Men 1 and 2 were bad, but you certainly could have used them for X3 and the movie that shall not be named starring Wolverine.
I liked X3.
I'm going to fire you when this is over.
I'm going to help.
I think it's the right move. I mean, you know, because Millar certainly isn't going to get invited to join the Marvel Studios committee. So why not, you know?
No, no way. No way in hell.
So why not? I think somebody posted that he's like expect the X-Men to fight Al-Qaeda. I don't think they're going to do that because it's still Fox. And
I think that would be awesome.
That's right. Hey, jihadists coming at you.
Well, they fought Russia. Well, you know, but the point is Mark Millar understands these characters. He knows where they come from. And, you know, I don't know how much power, if any, he's going to have. He's probably going to be the guy when they're, you know, on set. Hey, maybe you should do this because it reminds the fans of this. He's going to be that guy. And, you know, whether they listen to it or not, we're going to have to wait to see the final product. I think it's a good move, though. I mean, why not involve a guy who knows the medium and is very popular within the medium? Mark Millar still, you know, a lot of people still like him for his name. So, yes, Brian, what do you think of this?
I think it's an interesting move. Despite my somewhat mocking at, you know, his tendency to write certain types of books, I do tend to, for the most part, enjoy his work. I particularly enjoyed Old Man Logan back when it was running, although it took like freaking 2 years for that thing to be completed. That said, there was a lot. There can be depth and certain moments in his book, in his books, where you do see that not only does he love these characters, but he actually does know how to write some of them. In particular, going back to Old Man Logan again, spoilers. There's one scene where Logan relates the story of how he came to, you know, repent on violence and stuff and just kind of wander away. And it's really, really heartbreaking because when you think about it, it's like, you know, he's done this before. It's not uncommon for the way Logan went out, but it's really, really, it's like gut-wrenching. And then again with things like particularly Superior, where you give this child who has this fatal disease superpowers, and all of a sudden he just kind of like, he just wants to make the world a better place. And so he goes about doing these things, although he does like wreck Al-Qaeda in like the span of 20 minutes, I think, in one issue. So that said, I do agree with you, Ben, on the subject that I don't think Mark Millar will have that much, you know, direct power. He'll just kind of be that guy lounging around like meetings and stuff. He'd be like, you know what would go really great here?
Hey, don't you know, I can't do a Scottish accent to save my life. That was a failed attempt.
You know what would go great here? Yeah. Something like that. That was still a fail. That was bad, I know. I'm terrible.
I apologize to all the Scottish listeners if they're
not. Oh, I don't. No, but it's just, you know, Mark Millar.
You're fucking Irish, you fucking cunt.
Hey. I'm friggin' Boston Irish. There's a difference. We're drunker. Anyway, I do believe that Mark Millar could bring certain interesting ideas to these projects. I just don't know how well some of his other ideas might relate. For example, you know, like the expletives being tossed around, the uber violence, the over-sexualized women, you know, just things like that. But I think if he's kept on a leash, he'll do good. Yeah, that's
That's fine. Arnold, what do you think about Mark Millar being the consultant for the X-Men movies? Or Fox movies in general?
It's Fox. So everything's going to suck. It's Mark Millar. Everything's going to be gritty and bloody and cussy and awesome. And again, it's...
Who the hell said that? Who's got the grapes?
Grapes!
But yeah, it depends on how much input he has. Is it just gonna be, you know, is he gonna be, you know, not whether it's good or bad, is it gonna be like Jeff Johns who has hardcore input on the kind of stuff that goes on where people actually listen to his decisions, or is it just gonna be a bunch of people in a room that were like, oh, we're not sure how to get this right. Man, I wish we had a comic book guy here. Wait, didn't we just hire that comic book guy?
Rubbing the magic comic, rubbing the omnibus and out Mark Millar.
You know? Is he just going to be the guy that they go to for fact-checking, which, considering the track record, they might need a guy to go to just for fact-checking? But it's a matter of how much input that he's got. It's always great to have somebody who works on comics or writes comics, draws comics, whatever the case may be, get involved in the movie universe of things, because, you know, at least that's hopeful for us and the ones who are fans, that they can give some proper input on what things are supposed to be like or what little nods you could put in there, especially if it's about characters that they may have written. So I'm glad in that regard. Now it's just a matter of how much involvement does he actually have and how much pull does he have? Like, does anything he suggests have any actual weight, or is it just, okay, well, thanks for that opinion, but we're going to do what we wanted to do anyway.
Yes. Taser, what about you? I know you like Mark Millar.
Yay, Mark Millar! Yay! Woo! Mark Millar! I don't care. You know, if
I'm surprised Fox feels that they need to. Mark Millar is Taser.
Who? What are we talking about again?
I don't even know who Mark Millar is.
I know who Frank Miller is.
But, he's Frank Miller's kid. That actually would explain a lot when you think about it.
Yeah, Brian Millar, he's the artist, right? That guy.
Yeah, Taser. Yeah.
See, exactly. See, I'm on point. I'm with it.
Someone get him his medication, please.
Word.
Hey, I don't take the powder anymore. I snort it. But I digress. No, Mark Millar, didn't he do Smallville shit?
No.
Mark Millar Studios? Who was that guy at the end of the Smallville?
That was Miles Millar. He's a TV guy.
His brother! See, there you go! It runs in the family. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Family and togetherness. So, if they could get somebody who knows comics and it helps them not make Wolverine 2 as bad as Wolverine 1, I'm all for it. They could have gotten John Byrne for that as far as I'm concerned, as long as it gets the same results. Of course, we won't be able to judge until we see the movie, because remember, studio execs have the final say. They could still fuck this movie up, regardless of whether he's on hand.
I agree with what Arnold says. They fuck everything up.
Yes.
They didn't fuck up X-Men First Class, but then again, maybe they didn't care about it to begin
with. That's the only one that they haven't fucked up yet.
There's a sequel. Give it time.
I didn't think X-Men 1 or 2 were bad, but I understand your point.
Yes, Taser, we all know you like X3, and we're still trying to figure out why
And I liked Hulk 2, damn it.
We're still wondering why we talk to you.
And I liked The Incredible Hulk, and I liked Howard the Duck.
How you compare that to The Incredible Hulk? What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with me? I'm not That's hungry it? Anymore. That's what's wrong with me.
We're not friends anymore, Taser.
Arnold, shut your gift box.
The only reason
we're
so friends is I finally got my Left 4 Dead back, okay?
God damn. Letting your gimps run around with their ball game? What the hell is wrong with you?
We're New Yorkers. Suck it up and accept it.
So unprofessional.
Yes. God damn yes.
What about this show has been hardcore professional? We have kicked you off in the middle of a podcast at least 16 times.
I'm always wearing a suit. Isn't that professional?
I'm always naked, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Moving on.
Hit my jinglies. What? Swinging left and right. La la la, la la la.
All right. Well, as we had before, we move on.
My God.
Millar.
Pussy nice.
Somebody's throwing up in the background. Not even a few minutes in and we're already off the rails. Thank you. Always. Thank you, Mr. Millar. Thank you. Mark Millar does have a history of not just, obviously, he's had his movies, his comics being made into movies. So
wait till
you
read the review.
He does have a history of having his properties make it to movies, so he's familiar with the movie business. So it's not like this is completely alien territory, as I look at my Blu-ray stand. Kick-Ass, Wanted, and of course I think Nemesis is in development.
Nemesis. Where
and so is Superior. Superior got option too.
So, good for him. So let's move on, continue with the X-Men news. Obviously, when X-Men 1 first came out 12 years ago, the most memorable casting that I can remember was Sir
was
Patrick
Stewart. Was it really 12 years ago?
2000. A little over
my
12
God,
years ago.
My God, I feel old.
Don't. It's only 12 years. You're young. Was Sir Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier, which I want to say, at least for, I'm going to say for me just to be safe, that yes, that's Professor Xavier. And it seems that he possibly may be coming back. Right, Brian?
That is correct, Ben. At the 2012 Montreal Comic Convention, there was a panel being held, and Sir Patrick Stewart was sitting in on it. And when posed the question about whether or not he would reprise his role as the eponymous professor in the X-Men current franchise going, he said that there is every possibility of him doing so, and in fact later on said, yes, I will be reprising, only to be cut off by his douche of a son, Daniel, who didn't let him finish. Bitch.
Douche!
What this means for the X-Men franchise right now is uncertain, although it could lead to him making an appearance in the Days of Future Past story arc, where he would appear as the future version of himself, the past version being played by, what's his face?
Shia LaBeouf.
No, not Shia LaBeouf. The kid who was in Wanted. What's his face?
I don't know. Just say young Professor X.
Yeah, young Professor X. The guy who played him in First Class. That guy.
The Scott. Isn't he a Scott?
I think. Yeah, he is. He's like Scottish or something.
It's like
yeah.
even on the back of the Blu-ray packaging.
Shit. What's
James
his name?
McAvoy.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
thank you. James McAvoy. Yes, he'll be playing the future version of James McAvoy's Professor Xavier. Yes. So,
yeah. I bet you they have him in leg braces just so that he can walk.
That'd be kind of fucked up.
Why?
No, just, I don't know. Just, why would you make him walk?
Because I mean, if they're going to do Days of Futures Past, that future's not going to be set for wheelchairs.
So give him a hover chair. What?
Thank you. He'll go all Alistair Smythe with it, all of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. Just be
you
like
mean
zooming
the
90s around.
X-Men cartoon where he also had a hover chair? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That one too. But
why
I like
just straight up use the same reference. That makes no sense. No, well, I don't.
When
I don't,
I'm 90, what, I want
I wasn't
a
thinking
chair.
Of the cartoon, okay. Ben.
I don't
want to say.
Who says? I don't know. I think they're going to put him in leg braces.
And he could go in the bathroom in that chair too. That'd be an awesome chair.
This isn't Dark Knight Rises, okay? He's not going to be getting a magical knee brace and all of a sudden, oh, he can walk.
He'll have Magneto hold him up with them, his metal powers. I don't know.
No, that would be an awesome porno name, Dark Knight Rises. Hoo.
It probably is one already. Good for him. How old is he again? Like 70?
Yeah, he's on the borderline there.
Well, I haven't seen him do anything recently, but you know, he's one of those guys where like, if you die, you want him narrating your life because he just makes everything poetic.
Morgan, bitch. So, I'm going to outsource my job to some Brit.
Whatever. It's either him or Morgan
72.
Freeman.
He's 72 years old.
He's 72. So I'm going to hopefully see him at Austin Comic Con in 3 weeks. That's cool, you know. It just further strengthens that they want to copy what Marvel's doing. Copy's not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, it's not wrong to emulate what somebody's doing right. Whether the execution is done properly, whole entire thing together. Plus, it'll be nice to see Patrick Stewart not go out like a bitch like he did in X3.
Aw, you had to go and mention
it. He got beat by a chick. Dude. No dude gets beat by a chick.
There was no beating involved.
He just stood there and tried to...
I threw it into the air and then disintegrated, because that's what you do when you're an Omega-level mutant.
Oh, the hell with that, man. I got the biggest ball brain in the planet. I'm brain blasting that crazy psycho old Russian red-headed witch and letting know, hey, yo, look, witch. This is Xavier. Holla. Get down on your knees to make me a bean pie, damn it. Cunts, darn it. Fakakta.
Brian, what do you think about Professor X?
I think it's good. I think it's really nice that they're trying to establish a kind of continuity within their franchise. Because right now, you know, 20th Century Fox, they only really have two prominent film superhero film franchises. That's the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. And right now, the latter franchise isn't going anywhere anytime soon. So for them to actually, you know, kind of putting all their chips in with this new X-Men franchise, it's definitely a good thing. Especially where they're trying to win over some of the, it looks like they're trying to win over some of the older fans who enjoyed the first three movies. That being said, what?
You mean the first two movies?
Correct. My apologies. That being said, I think it would work if they just got him, but they should definitely strive to get Mr. Ian McKellen back as well to play Magneto if they do go that route.
How old is
because
he?
I think he's about the same age.
Because I know he's Gandalf again in the Hobbit.
Yeah, he's Gandalf again. Yeah. I think, he is 73, yeah, so he's only a year older than Patrick Stewart.
They need to work on the sequel fast, because those guys ain't going to be around for much longer.
Yeah, once they're gone, we're going to lose a huge chunk of, like, our...
At least acting-wise, they'll be alive, but not making movies. Like Christopher Lee.
That being said, like I said, though, I think it would really, really, like, go over really well if they got both of them. I know they can't always get what they want, but if they at least tried to get both, that would be amazing, because... As much as everyone loves Patrick Stewart, everyone loves Ian McKellen as Magneto, and you know you do. Don't deny it.
I wasn't that big of a fan.
Well, you're a soulless monster from Texas, so fuck you.
He was fine, but looking back on it, he wasn't exactly what I pictured Magneto. It wasn't bad, but you know, I would have done it a little differently.
Well, I'm sorry he wasn't your precious first class Magneto, played by what's-his-face.
But he's always Gandalf in my mind.
Michael Fassbender, screw that guy.
That guy was awesome as Magneto.
Yeah.
Arnold, what do you think about Sir Patrick Stewart possibly returning?
I awesome. Think he's mute. Okay.
Awesome. Patrick Stewart is Fantastico, and he is Fantastico in the role of Xavier. They just need to not redo what they did at the X-Men, at the end of X-Men First Class. I've never seen a faker more plastic. It was like, I don't know what to.
It was like Arnold in Terminator like, Salvation.
Yeah, it was like Botox gone like completely wrong. Everything was just pulled back and looked really plasticky and shiny. It was just, you know, it almost seemed like they just threw it in there like right at the end. They're like, well, we need to wait for this ship to land here. All right, let's just make a young CGI Xavier. And just banged it out. Like, you can make somebody look younger without making their whole face look like a plastic action figure, which is, it was like two steps above that. But I'm always all about seeing Patrick Stewart play Professor Xavier. He gets that role perfect. And whether you thought he'd be perfect for the role before he got it or knew from then on, he really is perfect for it. Currently, I can't think of many people to play a older, Charles Xavier. James McAvoy did good as a younger Xavier. Granted, I don't know much about a younger Xavier, but for the older, seasoned, starting up the school Xavier, Patrick Stewart's it, man.
Well, I don't think. Well, luckily, I don't think they're going to do the CGI route because it's going to be when they're older and when they, right. You know. So,
luckily, that'll be good.
Taser, I hope you at least like Sir Patrick Stewart.
Who?
Iggy, kick his ass and make it so.
Nah, I mean, sure, we get, you know, James McAvoy playing Old Man Xavier. That's awesome. Is that
Patrick
what we're talking
Stewart
about?
Playing Old Man Xavier.
Patrick Stewart. Wasn't he in, what was that Christmas movie about the guy who died and wishes, oh yeah, James Stewart, different guy. You're right.
No. Patrick Stewart did play, didn't he play Scrooge? I'm pretty sure he did.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that was Bill Murray.
That was Groundhog Day.
No, that was Scrooged.
Same movie.
Wait, why didn't you just make the Scrooge reference, Ben? Why you gotta go and make a completely different reference?
I don't know.
Dumbass.
I thought he was referencing Groundhog Day.
That is
he's referencing Scrooge.
which kind of shows the age difference between us. Okay, all kidding aside. Yeah, fuck yeah, Patrick Stewart's back. Woohoo! Okay, fine. I didn't have any problems with him playing Xavier. I never pictured Xavier with a British accent. But let's face it, there was only one actor he was going to pick to play Xavier. And, yeah, he was going to carry that accent with him, even though it's not as British as it was in Dune. But, hey, who cares? It's fucking Patrick Stewart. He did a bang-up. He did a better-than-bang-up job. I can roll with it. So, woo! Patrick Stewart is back. You know, there's all you need to know. Yes. And I was right. James McAvoy was a Scot. Because I really didn't know. I just figured by the name.
Oh, they're all part of the United Kingdom anyways.
They're all foreigners.
Fuck them.
Fuck the foreigners.
Foreigners are evil in every medium. No matter what it is, they're always evil.
Including the Mexicans. Damn Mexicans. I was trying to take my derp.
So say every time at work, damn Mexicans. All right. Last bit of news. Brian, what do we got?
Yeah, there's really not much to say about this one, but hey, it's a fun little tidbit. When Sony put out Amazing Spider-Man this summer, it was good. You know, it was well received by most folks, and of course it warranted a sequel. That being said, the director behind the movie for the sequel was uncertain up until this point, Mark Webb having owed Fox Searchlight another movie adaption. However, news has come through that Mark Webb will indeed return to the Spider-Man franchise. He's helping to steer in a new direction, and in fact, will direct. So, yay.
Woohoo!
You're excited for that one.
I'm going to pull a
Taser. Patrick Stewart. No, it's Mark Webb that gets the old man excited. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to pull a Taser. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, really.
He's made two movies that I've liked that I've seen of his in 500 Days of Summer and Amazing Spider-Man. But, you know, I kind of like, if there was more information of what the story was going to be for the next one, I just hope he, you know, they learn to not necessarily show Peter Parker being a skateboarder and more of, you know, him being Spider-Man or his life as Spider-Man and not just a music video sequence.
But it's originitis, like any other movie. No matter what it was, it's going to take us forever to see him.
Not even that. I'm talking about several minutes dedicated to him skateboarding. I'm just talking about that.
I'm hoping. I didn't hate it. It was just him testing a way to test out his powers.
I guess it could have been. It could have been shorter.
Fair enough.
I mean, good for him. He's got a job. A lot of Americans have jobs today.
The only thing that makes me nervous is the. I want to go in a different direction. Okay, what are we talking about here? Because, you know, there's only so many different directions.
The studios, especially because he's not a big name, the studio's always going to win. So if he wants to do his own thing, he better, you're not going to win here, buddy.
Yeah. When people start saying that, almost no matter what the property is, when they're like, oh, I want to go in a different direction, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, Spider-Man wasn't perfect.
Two guys in suits, it wasn't broken either.
You know, it wasn't broken, so there wasn't too much to fix, so don't just go off on some crazy-ass tangent just because you got a sequel.
I want more New Yorkers uniting to help Spider-Man.
I do not.
You mess with Spider, you mess with New York!
To be perfectly honest, that fucks with the whole Spider-Man genre. You know, think about it.
The whole everybody hates him, yeah.
Yes. Oh, no, not everybody hates him, but, you know, he doesn't have a great amount of support. People still mistrust him. I think that's the one thing but that's the one thing that I would probably back off from. Not necessarily make him, would Spider-Man kill him, but, you know, he like doesn't get that whole,
just automatically fan of Spider-Man. That's the only kind of people they showed, other than the villains and Jonah.
There was that one guy who's like, he stinks, and I don't like him.
That was Norton, the comedian named Norton. He stinks, and I don't like him. But, I mean, there should have been a little more of that, you know? Yeah. Just, you know, I mean, granted, common sense says that a guy who saves the train, you're not going to really have any problems with him. Don't get me wrong. But I did think that whole, that bridge scene was just, like, the fuck out of here. And those were Queens people. I'm like, they ain't that stupid.
What you were saying earlier with Spider-Man going in a different direction, I mean, what direction haven't we seen but his parents? So I am kind of interested in seeing how that's going to play out.
I wouldn't mind seeing the sex scene with him and Emma Stone.
Neither would anybody else.
That's the direction I wouldn't mind going.
Everybody wins in that situation.
Conversation, as much as their chemistry was very appealing, an actual conversation would be nice.
Okay. That's valid. Rather than, hey, look, I'm Spider-Man and I can do shit. Please like me.
Hey, he's what he got to get the woman. I don't have a problem with that.
Would you do that, though?
I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying.
No,
I don't know.
Was just a question. Would you do
no,
that?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I'm not Peter Parker though. Peter Parker.
Fair.
Foul. Baseball's on. I'm losing track of everything right now. Jesus Christ.
That's because you're a Ben. I have nothing. I don't know.
Neither do
I. Of course, he's a Texan.
Do we have the same thing with the New York thing? Like, I fucking hate it when they show all Texans that was wearing cowboy hats and.
I don't.
I wear t-shirt and shorts. I don't own a pair of cowboy boots or hat.
You work at Walmart. You take yours off.
Of course I do. Do we have any more to add, guys? B-Rye?
No, I'm still
naked.
Alright, well, notebook. Well, that's
put
some
all. Pants on, old man.
That's our news for tonight.
The thing.
I'm.
The thing
I'm,
that I'm Arnold posted. Shield.
Oh, apparently, breaking news. I don't know how to handle this.
Yes.
It is breaking.
Breaking news. Apparently, they've
revealed break?
Details of Joss Whedon's. We all know he's going to be a. There's a Shield TV show coming out, and they've released descriptions of. I guess it's the. What the characters are.
Yes.
And we've got several names. We have. Sky is a late 20s woman, sounds like a dream, fun, smart, caring, confident, with the ability to get the upper hand by using her wit and charm. So typical Joss Whedon female, check. Agent Grant Ward, quite the physical specimen and cool under fire. He sometimes botches interpersonal relationships. He's quite a one with a bit temper, but he's the kind of the guy who that grows on you. Oh, so he's heavy duty. Also known as Agent Althea Rice, also known as the Cavalry. This hardcore soldier has crazy skills when it comes to weapons and being a pilot, but her experiences have left her very quiet and a little damaged. Again, Joss Whedon female, check. Agent Leo Fitz and Agent Gemma Simmons. These two came through training together and still chose to spend most of their time together in each other's company. This is going to be the couple of the show.
Yeah.
Their sibling-like relationship is reinforced by their shared nerd tendencies. She deals with biology and chemistry. He's a wizard of the technical side of weaponry. And S.H.I.E.L.D. was first announced last month by Disney. So, yeah, we got some of our characters.
Where's Sidwell? No Dum Dum Duggan.
Well, he's...
Where's Gabe?
Well, they're all dead.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah, they're pretty much dead. I'm actually surprised that Sidwell isn't in this. Or maybe he'll come in later and these are just going to be the stories it's going to be focusing on. I can't believe they're making a S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, though. It's kind of... Kind of blowing my mind a little bit, although it does have the typical Joss Whedon tropes.
No Agent Coulson?
Well, he's
no
dead.
Agent Coulson!
Spoilers, he's dead. Unless the bullshit rumors are that he's coming back as the Vision, but if that's true, I'm gonna hate that decision.
That would be funny and twisted at the same time.
No, he's dead. Let him lay dead.
No! Bring him back as Wonder Man! Woohoo! Wonder Man!
Yeah, his name won't be Wonder Man, I guarantee you that much. Y'all have anything to say? Because it seems pretty cool that they have a cast. Not a cast, but characters around it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't care.
And you fucking asshole wanted me to talk about it.
It's cool to hear about.
The thing! I read it. I read the thing. I don't give a
fuck. Every time he gets you.
Okay.
It's cool. I'm glad to see... Some names about some characters. It's obvious all characters that, to the best of my knowledge anyway, have not existed in the comic books or with S.H.I.E.L.D. in any way, shape, or form. So, aside from it being about S.H.I.E.L.D.
I wonder if Colby Smothers is going to be in this.
Yeah, I was about to say, aside from it taking the name of S.H.I.E.L.D. and you know it takes place in the Marvel Universe, are there going to be any of actual well-known comic book characters that are going to be announced that... You know,
this doesn't sound like it'll do like real power type thing because, admittedly, I would have liked to have seen people like the Texas Twister or some shit from there.
Like, okay, at least gonna get a Fury cameo, you know, stuff like that. That's what I mean. Like, still not in the non-powered world.
Yeah, but alright, let me riddle me this. How many S.H.I.E.L.D. people can you name aside from Fury and his crew, Anita Hill, and Sitwell?
This is true.
The guy who worked with the Hulk in the 80s. Fuck.
Unless
Doc Samson?
No. He was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. White guy.
Wow, they weren't a million of them.
Blonde.
They weren't a million of those.
He worked with Banner a lot. He was in Peter David's run. I can't remember his name, though.
Peter David's run?
Yeah, he was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Was this after,
was alive for a long time, but...
I wouldn't know.
I know his name, and I know this only other S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that I know of.
Was he a member of the Hulkbusters or something?
I would think so. He was assigned specifically to Banner and to the Hulk, at least during that particular time. If you know his name, I can't think. That's the only... That, Gabe Jones, of course, Dum-Dum.
The Contessa!
Should she be a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, though, or was she just Fury's girlfriend?
I think she was just
Fury's girlfriend, and she just was
Look, will we at least get the jetpacks and the flying cars? If we get the jetpacks and the flying cars, I could be happy.
It is a TV show, so.
See what kind of villains we're getting. That's what I want.
Hydra. It's got to be Hydra.
Yeah, the Tinkerer. Right,
that kind of shit. I want to know what kind of villains we're getting.
You know, if you're dealing with tech, why not the Tinkerer?
Because he's not that big.
It's a TV show. You're not going to be able to do a lot of big... MODOK. Fine, MODOK.
That would still be AIM. Okay, AIM, fine. But the Tinkerer? Fucking Spider-Man takes out the Tinkerer. That's bullshit.
Maybe just make him badass then. I don't know.
Get the Melter. Hey, let's make it the Melter. Because he's got tech. No, I got it.
Blizzard.
Spot Pete.
Blizzard.
Hey, Spot Pete. There you go.
Spot Pete.
Thank God
he's a spot, man.
Brian, speak up.
He's been knocked over to Boston B&B, buddy.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about? And that's...
Shield.
Shield.
No, yay! Shield's getting a TV show and we got character descriptions. What do they do? Let me know when we actually get actors to fill the roles and then maybe I'll give a damn.
Oh.
It's true, I mean, he's not right. I mean, it's nice.
You mean
he's not
wrong?
Right?
He's not.
Yes, that's a given. He's not wrong.
I'm not right either, but I'm not wrong.
Okay, we can move on.
All right, well, no book of the week. It's time for individual reviews. I am up first, because I want to go first, with The Punisher, number 16, the final number issue of Greg Rucka's run of The Punisher. Last issue, we saw the leader of the exchange basically kill everybody in his building and frame Frank Castle and Rachel Cole Alves for the murders. One of the detectives who we've been following in the story was shot in the throat. Now they are on the run, and Rachel Alves has been contemplating killing herself because she just feels extremely guilty of what she's done, and she was careless. And they're trying. Both the detective who's still alive, whose name escapes me right now, is trying to save not Punisher's life because you know he doesn't give a shit about the Punisher, but save Rachel's life. And he goes to Nora Winters to get information because she's known where Rachel's been all along, and she's been holding with the evidence from the police. And so it all leads to a final confrontation. They find the Punisher and Rachel are in. I believe it's upstate. I want to say it's upstate New York because it's nowhere near, like the city of New York City. And you have like a SWAT team and every single. It seems like the entire NYPD staff is there. And Rachel confessing to Nora, you know, she did this. She killed the detective. She did all those things. She was the one who killed those people inside who killed the exchange. It wasn't Castle. Leave him alone. And Castle, she's just sitting on a park bench, and Castle's trying to protect her from afar. Finally, Detective Clemens and Nora Winter catch up to her, and she's basically going to commit suicide because there's armed SWAT ready to shoot at any moment's notice, given the chance. She said, "I'm going to shoot you. I want to end my." In her way of not committing suicide, but Frank Castle before this pulled the removed the firing pin, and basically she ends with Rachel screaming or saying, "Why, Castle, you bastard? Why did you make me live?"
Well,
she doesn't say that, but she's just kneeling on the ground. "You bastard, Castle. Why did you make me live?" And this is the last. Next issue is gonna. Next time it comes out will be Punisher Warzone, which will be Punisher taking on the Avengers, in a 5-issue miniseries. Which I'm assuming is because of what happened at the exchange. But about this issue, I thought this was a good cap to what Ruck has been telling with Rachel, and the fact that there's a point in the story where she says, I wish I was like you. I wish I was cold." And even Frank admits nobody should be like me. You know, showing the rare bit of emotion that Frank Castle will occasionally come out. Doesn't happen a lot. And the fact that, he himself knew, you don't need to go down this path. I'm not going to tell you that because he's the man of few words, but he's going to do it by saving her life. He doesn't want to see, Frank Castle, he doesn't like to see innocents die. I guess he still sees that in her somehow and that she should live. And leaves her to her own devices afterwards. Which, who knows what she's going to do afterwards? I don't know. But maybe he thinks that this will make a life lesson for her. But I thought this is a solid issue and a solid wrap up into not necessarily Frank's story arc. This whole run wasn't necessarily about Frank. It was more about Rachel. But it was a nice wrap up to her character arc and where she started and how she can't be what Frank Castle is. And Frank Castle won't let her go down the path that he did because, as homicidal and as crazy as Frank is, I don't think he wishes anybody to go down that path, to be like him, to be as vengeful and to continue fighting and have no eye left at this point, despite that he's going to have a magical eye and reappear in Thunderbolts. But I give this, and of course, to Cheto, I'll say this right now. Do y'all remember when Steve McNiven first showed up? And it was like, holy fuck, who's this guy?
Yeah.
This is what Cheto is going to be like. I think he showed up here in Punisher. He's done Spider-Man stuff before, but I guarantee you, in a year from now, he'll be on like the big Marvel book, and they're like, and he'll be one of their bigger names. This guy's art is ridiculously detailed, fantastic. He's like a rougher Steve McNiven, but not in a scratchy sort of way, but very detailed. Everything feels like as if it's a cinematic shot in a movie. Not necessarily because of the camera angles, but just of his extreme, just of how his character renderings and the environment around them. Everything feels and looks authentic for a comic book drawing. Plus, I love the way how he draws a skull as if it's like a ghost watching you. This Rucka's run on the Punisher has been one of my favorite runs of comics of all time within the past 10 years. It's been really good. So I recommend, if you like Punisher in the Marvel Universe, but not, you know, this is the book. I give it a solid 5 out of 5. It was fantastic, and only 5 more issues left to go. But this story arc that we've been following for this main character in Rachel is over. And I'm sad to see it go, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be rare for us to see her again. Although somebody might pick up the ball with her. Who knows? All right. Let's go to the Deadpool weekly pickup. What the fuck does Deadpool do now?
Okay. Well, if you saw the cover, he's fighting Hitmonkey, but...
Did Hitmonkey return?
Yeah. Well, no, it's funny because actually... Hitmonkey's only in, like, 2 pages of the story. In fact, Deadpool himself is kind of a supporting character in this particular piece of the story arc. In fact, it's a different character, Special Agent Allison Kemp, who gets the spotlight. So you remember a while back when Deadpool was facing off against an evil, an evil clone, or not a clone, but different severed body parts of himself had merged together, and they formed an evil version of Deadpool. And he started committing crimes in his counterpart's name, and then there was a task force assigned to bring Deadpool down. Allison Kemp, back in that story arc, headed up that mission. However, Deadpool allegedly got away, and that people found out about it, and so it was kind of an embarrassment. And so now the government is covering up that, and they're making her out to be kind of the scapegoat. So she's being forced to retire from her job at the FBI, and... essentially, what we get is really just the story of this character, not so much Deadpool, not even really, anything about him, although he does come into play in her storyline. It turns out that 9 years earlier, when Allison Kemp was a field agent for the FBI, she was undercover negotiating a deal between Serbian arms dealers and Detroit mob bosses. Now, there are allusions to it throughout that a deal with the Serbians and another group had gone bad, and no one really knows why. What we end up finding out, however, is that the deal went bad, and the group that was originally buying from the Serbian hires Deadpool to take out all the potential buyers and the seller. So, as it turns out, Allison Kemp, who is a quadriplegic confined to a wheelchair, mind you, she was put in that chair by Deadpool in his path of destruction during his old mercenary days. And is, in fact, going after him legitimately via a personal vendetta, but now she's being forced to step down. And so what we get is her retiring, and then 2 days after she retires, she hires herself a couple of people to go after Deadpool. Who are these people? Why, they're none other than T-Ray and Slayback, two classic Deadpool foes from his...
Who the fuck are they?
Yeah, T-Ray is one of Deadpool's older adversaries from Joe Kelly's run, and Slayback is an old Weapon X agent died.
Deadpool has rogues galleries?
He does. He has a rogues gallery. And these two are a couple of the classic villains from there. T-Ray got big on Joe Kelly's run of the book, and Slayback, I'm not really sure where he showed up, but I had originally thought he was dead. But I guess
it's
not.
Comics. Nobody's really dead.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, they're both back, and they're both gunning for Deadpool now at the behest of this crippled agent whose life Deadpool ruined. So that side of the thing settled up. Like I said, we only really get a few pages of Deadpool. It's much more about the depth of her character, and essentially Deadpool has created many more enemies than he even dared to imagine, despite his trying to turn good. And the funny thing about it is, while the Agent Kemp storyline is well fleshed out and everything, the Deadpool story actually suffers. There's only about 4 or 5 pages of Deadpool even in this book doing his thing, and even then, we don't even get a reason as to why he's even talking with Hitmonkey. We get a brief scene of him trying to reason with him not to shoot him, and then just evolves into a brawl, and Hitmonkey kind of gets mind-fucked by Deadpool and runs away. We don't even get a reason as to why the two were talking, and moreover, when the scene starts out the book, it's in like a suburb in Chinatown, but then it switches to a parking garage randomly at the end, so... It's not really a whole lot of consistency, and it's kind of confusing. We don't really get a whole lot from Deadpool, but we get set up for a bigger storyline, hopefully with a better constructed sequence of events. But for the most part, this issue actually kind of wasn't that great. I mean, from the Deadpool side of things, it certainly lacked, but from the Agent Kemp side of things, it was actually kind of interesting. It was very, very different than what we normally see with Deadpool. This is a person who was just doing their job, fighting the good fight, and she just happens to get caught in a crossfire with Deadpool doing his thing back when he wasn't so nice. And, she was just an acceptable loss, and he doesn't even know who she is. He doesn't even know what he did to her. So, this whole situation is just kind of evolving out of a tragic accident, really. So, that being said, Daniel Way, he does a good job writing this character. She's a completely original character. She hasn't shown up before, but the way he writes her, it's really tragic and really makes you sympathize with her. But, if you're reading this, you're a Deadpool fan, you don't want anything to happen. That being said, the artist for this book, Ale Garza, something like that. I apologize if I get the name wrong. His art is... not so great. The characters look kind of plastic and phony, like action figures almost, and it's just kind of, it's very strange and off-looking. So, this issue all around was pretty just lackluster in terms of typical Deadpool, storytelling, but it wasn't that bad a shift, but I miss when Deadpool was doing his thing, This issue didn't serve a lot to Deadpool fans, and unless you know who this character is and give a damn, you're not going to get anything out of this book. And so, that being said, I give it a 2 out of 5 altogether. It's kind of disappointing, really. I mean, it was good because I like the characters that surround Deadpool. I like this character and where she's taking this, and I like the fact that they're bringing in classic rogues. But Deadpool
Daniel Way didn't write this?
No, Daniel Way did write this book.
Oh, okay.
It's just, it's a different storytelling way because, like I said, we only get Deadpool in like 4 pages. So we'll see more of them definitely later.
That's all the
when
you really need, anyways.
Yeah, but I like my Deadpool. So that being said, we'll get more Deadpool when T-Ray and Slayback go after him. But until now, it was really lackluster. So I gave it a 2 out of 5 altogether.
That sounds like gangster names, like really bad gangster names. T-Ray and Slayback.
I'll brief you later on what they mean or who they are.
I don't care. All right, let's go to Taser. Who wants to just laugh at Impulse? I mean, Alpha.
The Amazing Spider-Man versus Alpha. Battle of the Half Century.
I did like the cover homage, though, from when I saw it at the store.
You know what? Ramos and Slott need to be shot for teasing me. Because there is no battle. They don't fight. There's nothing like that inside this book. I thought I was going to get something awesome. Instead, what I got was the big old eraser. Excuse me. I needed to say that because that's kind of what this book did to my stomach. Long story short, Jack had gotten involved with Alpha at some point. Books I didn't read because it's Spider-Man. And on top of it, you had this dink of a kid who's the exact opposite of Peter Parker. And, yeah, that's still not something I want to read in a comic book. I avoided it. However, we get to this book, and the kid's still living it up, and, you know, Peter can't handle it, and, you know, he's like, woo, I'm famous, and I'm in Tokyo, dude, I'm awesome, yay, whatever. And Pete, you know, he's, you know, growing facial hair, and he's like, oh, this kid is, I don't understand it. He's driving me nuts, and why am I still in the lab? I need to get out. Oh, yeah, isn't Aunt May leaving? I need to go catch my Nana. Web swing, I'm sure I can make it there in time, whatever. I got to get to LaGuardia. Meanwhile, Aunt May and, what's it, J. Jonah's father's like, I thought Peter would be here, but apparently he's got other things more important than his old Aunt May. And, you know, Jay's like, come on, you old hag. It's time to get back up to Boston. That's right, Boston. Meanwhile.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Terminus shows up. You know, this is a guy that they pull out whenever they want something to seem serious. And he's always the guy that gets beat in one issue. But he's also the guy that they go, oh my god, holy gee whiz, it's Terminus. Terminus hasn't succeeded in any earthly attempt ever.
He even got whooped by the Justice League at one point.
Come on, the Justice League, Superman would whoop Terminus. I mean, come on. You know, his big thing is he's big. Freaking, as a matter of fact, this might be Spider-Man's second encounter with him, because didn't he go up against Terminus with Quasar back when he had the Captain Universe powers? I'm pretty sure, I think that happened. What was it, Acts of Vengeance was that?
I don't fucking know.
It might have been. Well, anyway.
Terminus sounds like one of those characters like, maybe you shouldn't come out for a while. Or if you're going to do, let's make you a little bit different than being the joke that you've become.
Yeah. And on top of which, okay, this is going to send you back some, but we have Cap on the Sky Bike. Woohoo! Cap on the Sky Bike! And, we've got Captain Marvel in her new costume. Looking all breastiferous and everything, you know, without the headgear, but fine, fuck it, I still like it, whatever. And they call in Spider-Man because, Spider-Man, you're needed, it's go time. And of course, as soon as he gets there, Captain America looking all, grr, arg, my knees hurt, I'm old, I need Bengay, arr, where's my prunes? He's like, we need Alpha, get him now, do it, soldier! So, yeah, let me pull out the old cell phone. And go, hey, kid, you want it in, you're in. The Avengers, they're calling you. It's time to get here. And, you know, Alpha's like, really? Golly gee willikers. Well, not really, but he gets there lickety-split, okay? And he gets there so fast, he scares the holy gee whiz fuck out of both Spider-Man and Captain America. Captain America, big A on his forehead, is like, my God. You know? Thor went. Forsooth, he thought to be more awesome-y than I. They're all looking at him. He just pimp smacked Terminus in the hand, and you know they actually gonna go gah, which considering his height and all the little non-speaking floaty things around him, which I actually didn't notice until just now, he affects him more than they did. So much so that Terminus goes, keep away from me! You know, I've never seen that. That was funny. Okay? I will give this book credit also. They actually explain what being an alpha level threat is. Alpha level threat is not automatic end of world threat, but somebody whose powers will exponentially increase with the universe.
They did that in the first issue, by the way.
They didn't really say it like that, though. They just said alpha level threat.
Easy. The old man suffered from dementia. Let's give him a second to collect his marbles. Look, and then
they said he was alpha level threat. They said
alpha is the beginning, omega is the end.
Yeah, but hold on. They said,
And you call it omega beans for a reason.
Anyway, I disagree with you. You suck, and you're a Texan. So yeah, they let the kid go at him, but you know, of course, since I haven't read the previous issues to this, but I can only imagine, you know, Spidey training not being what Cap training is must suck, and the kid's not really, you know, paying attention. He's just waylaying into him. but his energy's being tossed all over the place. And sure enough, Jay and Aunt May, their plane is stuck in the middle of it. So Spider-Man looks around to see if, oh yeah, there we go, there's the plane. In flight, he spots my eyesight. Yeah. So what does he do? Hey, Miss Marvel, can I get a lift, baby? All right, let me ride on your back. Woohoo! And, you know, she tosses him at the plane. He rips the door open. Mistake number one. Hey, Miss May, are you okay? Meanwhile, the cabins are suffering from explosive decompression. So, you know, she's jumbled around. She's actually looking really old here. I'm like, thank God, it's old Aunt May. I haven't seen her in so long a time, and I still don't care because I want her to die. And, you know, Jameson's father is like, argh! Spider-Man, and Parker, of course, because he's got a head, he goes, okay, the plane's out of control. You know what we do? We reboot everything. Woohoo! So they shut everything down and turn it back on again. The plane starts to fly again. But for whatever reason, the energy that Alfred's throwing off doesn't let the plane get far, and it shuts down again. And this happens, I think, one or two more times. Meanwhile, Alpha is, you know, he's making Thor upset. You know, that kind of tells you something. Arrogant Swain, cease your attack. Thor, get him out of there. The kid doesn't know what he's doing. Well, duh. You know, you called in this kid, you called in the big gun, he's a kid who's never really fought anything, and you sent him up against Terminus. And you expected him to exactly know what the F he's doing. Fuck you. Seriously. Captain America, again, more douchebag Captain America. Why is he a douchebag when he came back from the dead? Is this part of the Red Skull's doing, making Captain America a dick? You know, I mean, we're talking, he's heading into Superman territory. That's a nod to A-Train over there.
Yay!
back to Spider-Man, you know, dealing with the whole plane thing. They managed to land it back in LaGuardia. And, you know, again, you know, shades of Spider-Man the movie 2. He helps land the plane because the support strut for the landing gear was broken. So he actually figures out, small private jet, what are we talking about here? Landing weight over 75,000 pounds. If it's full on fuel at another 30 to 40,000, then there's a thrust. So I'll just take and act as a bracer and act, you know, I'll support it on my back. And that's what happens. The plane lands. Of course she doesn't die. And the plane doesn't capsize or anything else like that. And Spider-Man can still walk. Yeah, okay, why not? It was all worth it just to see J. Jonah Jameson walk up with his hands held together going, Spider-Man, I just want to thank you for, you know, saving my father. You're awesome. Can I hug you? He wants to know who's responsible, and of course, the kid ends up beating Terminus, but people aren't happy because, you know, he gave off energy. Yes, energy went everywhere. It was a problem. You know, energy, yay. But they noticed that Terminus had one of his, that giant staff of his was able to redirect, you know, the alpha power. So he goes, hey, no, don't do anything with that. I can use that. Give me some time, and I know just what to do. So, of course, that leads to Alpha getting his powers taken away. And he does it as Spider-Man, which is, you know, the big dick part. You know, I look at this. He's like, yeah, come on, kid. Yeah, come on. Yeah, it's me and you. Yeah, come on. We're going to have pizza and we'll talk. He's like, really, Spider-Man? Golly and gee whiz, for true? We're going to be bestest friends forever? And, you know, he's like, yeah, come on. Just pull a Superman 2 and step into this chamber. Really? This is gonna make me even better? And he's like, yeah, you just stay right here. Hey,
Spider-Man neutral, awesome.
I feel alpha powered down. I can't take all of it out of you, but I can drain most of it away. And then you got the kid here crying. He's like, well, why would you? Because yesterday was a test and you failed. You used your power irresponsibly. The kid is, what, 15? And he's an alpha level threat who's never been in a big battle before, but as far as I know, okay, because I didn't read the stuff before this. As far as I know, never been in a power, and I mean never been in a fight. That Spider-Man just lacks the ability or the facility to train somebody like this, and Reed Richards put this on him. This is all Reed's fault. Reed should have been the one, you know what, let me keep you for about 6-7 years and run tests on you, and then I can create the alpha power blocker, which will, you know, nullify a lot of it, but slowly let you tap into it so we can better help you figure out how to use it.
Sorry to interrupt you. The thing that kills me about that, and it did stick out to me in this storyline, is that Reed knows about those particles already.
Yes, exactly.
When he got blasted with it, he told Peter flat out, you know, there's some things you don't fuck with, essentially, is what he told him. And he mentioning that. So he already knew what it was.
Exactly, which means that he would know how to deal with this. Hello! So Alpha loses his powers.
Because Reed's a dick.
Yeah, and he goes back home, and, you know, he's like, oh, I'm home. Reed's and he goes back to being a nobody, and he goes back to being laughed at.
Does he
ignored.
Still have a girlfriend?
Nope, because they show her in one panel, and she's just kind of like, hey, it's you.
Oh,
you know,
and they're
laughing at him in the hallway. Well, she doesn't say anything, but you just see her kind of like, hey, you know.
This is the same guy. I mean, he just doesn't have power. She's a whore.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, of course you did. You could see this coming from the day one. You knew they were going to keep this kid. And he makes sure. Spider-Man knows exactly what's going to happen. And it's foreshadowed because he goes, and remember, this is all my fault. Peter Parker had nothing to do with it. Me. Which means that there's a good chance that this kid's going to flip. And he's still super strong. As you can see him bending the whatchamacallit, which means, yeah, he may not be able to pick up a building, but he could probably break a face. Yeah. And, you know, this kid is looking dejected and sad. Hey, guess what? We're reading the Marvel Universe. How many dejected and sad teen mutants have, or teen superpowered people have we read over the years? You know? This kid's one of them. We're looking at the first alpha-level potential villain, you know, created because both Spider-Man, Captain America, and Reed Richards were a bunch of douchebag assholes, you know. This shouldn't have even occurred. This story was dumb. He shouldn't have ever been created. Shouldn't have ever been created. This was never going to go anywhere, and I bet you they wrote this thinking that something might happen, but, you know, I bet fan reaction, because they can really gauge it a lot better, you know, thanks to the interwebs. Nobody liked Alpha. Name somebody who liked this kid. Can you? So, you know, this was going to go nowhere. And they said, okay, let's get rid of him. And let's do it in some way that we could probably bring him back as the potential problem that he really is. And they did that. And, and, you know, Parker ended up meeting, you know, at the hospital where May's looking, Peter, you know, and the doctor's like, well, she'll gain use of her leg again with the cane, but she'll never have full use. And medical talk. The Jackal is headed on a boat for Delvadia? I don't know. Actually, I think this was Hobgoblin. My bad. So somebody named Hobgoblin. I don't think the last guy. I think it's a new guy because it's not somebody I recognize. He shows up at a port. And next, Hobgoblin. I knew this was coming. I'm surprised it actually took this long. You know, this was dumb. This was a bad idea from the jump. It was executed poorly. It was done to make sales, but oh my God, you know, fuck you, Marvel. What happened to good writing? You know, what happened to story editors and people that tried to rein shit in so things made sense and it wasn't just an obvious cash grab for attention. Fucking 1.5 out of Warriors out of 5. Don't pick this book up. Don't do it to yourself.
And that is exactly why I'm so glad I said goodbye. Not dealing with this bullshit anymore. as like, everything I'm explodes.
Not, I really have nothing else to say. This book was just, it annoyed me that much. And I read this book because, thank you 4chan, of that one panel of the kid looking forlorn over having lost his powers. And that made me pick up this issue just to see exactly how shit went down. And yeah, I wasn't surprised, you know? I wasn't surprised at all.
You know what? I just hope they announce a new writer when they relaunch the book again in January. Hopefully a new writer and not somebody who likes to play with old school tropes, comic tropes, will come in and say, okay, let's just tell good stories. But last but not least, Arnold is up last with possibly the best single issue of the year, with Wolverine X-Men number 17, starring Dupe.
Yes, so this was a wonderful issue of the Marvelous Misadventures of Dupe, who I will tell you right off the gate. I know he was popular because of the X-Static storyline, but I honestly know jack shit about Dupe. But if I had to base reading more about Dupe off of this book, I definitely would read more about the character if he's like this all the time. The issue starts off with everybody kind of sitting around bitching about Dupe. He doesn't do jack shit. He's kind of a shiftless layabout. He doesn't get any work done. He's always sleeping or reading magazines or causing a mess. And Wolverine constantly just keeps telling people, you know, I need him around. He's here. He has a very specific job. You know, I need him here. We have an agreement, et cetera, et cetera. And the more he keeps telling them, trust me, he's here for a reason, they're all like, dude, like, get this guy out of here. What the hell? So we get to see, so to speak, a day in the life of Dupe. And Dupe gets around. It's safe to say he gets the kind of to the dirty jobs of the Jean Grey school, but not necessarily dirty in the messy kind of way. Well, maybe. You see him just, first off, you see Wolverine go and ask him, and he's like, no, I'm not doing it. So Wolverine asks him, what can I do to convince you? And Dupe takes him all around, all over the place, has him taken him to bars, to strip clubs. They're going swimming in, I'm sure that's up north somewhere, not sure exactly where that is.
Wherever polar bears are at.
Yeah, exactly. Like cannonballing into ice, where we're chainsawing the heads off of pigs, we're going to luchador wrestling matches, and by far probably one of the better ones is he makes Wolverine dress up as Scott Summers and say, my name is James, and this is my impression of Cyclops. With six-inch claw stabbed in his face and proceeds to stab himself in the face. Obviously done off-panel, but Dupe is beside himself and couldn't be any happier about it. So he finally agrees, and you kind of see him doing all these odd random jobs or, you know, taking out people or eliminating threats before they actually become threats. He took out a gang of Nazi bowlers that were going to go after the school. He went and smashed the laptop of a nun who was saying horrible shit about him online. Slept with two of the people on the board trying to shut down the Jean Grey Academy and got them to change their minds. Doing some very interesting things with Warbird and broken glass and battery cables. And it just goes on and on. Howard the Duck, you know, roller derby with Tigra and She-Hulk.
A gun that shoots bees.
Yeah, a gun that shoots
a bee gun. Yes.
I like the moment. It's sad and funny all at the same time. It's Toad coming out with the lawnmower, yelling at him. He's like, "Here's an idea. If you don't want to get, you know, when you're green, don't pass out on the grass." And you see him all kind of damaged and cut up and all effed up because he just got run over with the lawnmower. But it was a good, fun issue. It was a nice, pleasant, needed break from all of the AVX universe-changing shenanigans going on, which we'll be getting back to shortly. But I liked it. It was a filler issue, but not a bad filler issue. It was just all around funny and interesting. It was just a glimpse into the school and things that go on there. And the Mike Allred art is great. I don't dislike his art as much as I make fun of the new FF stuff coming out. It's not because of his art. I read some of iZombie, which he did the art into. I like the design of his stuff, and it worked well. His Logan's really good.
Let me interject. Sorry for cutting you off for one hot second. What's with the title iZombie? Is that just trendy zombies or something? I'm looking. I'm like, what is that all about?
To be completely honest, I read it for like four or five issues and it wasn't really grabbing me, so I dropped it. I know it's still going on. I'm just not reading it, so I can't help you there. And I never got a full grasp of what it was. Like, this girl was a zombie. She worked in a cemetery. She could see ghosts, and she would help people, I guess, kind of the passing on kind of idea, but it was a little different. Okay. She still had to eat brains and stuff like that, so she worked in a graveyard, and after she was done working there and putting people in the ground, she would dig them up and eat some of them.
She worked in a supermarket for zombies.
It had funny, interesting stuff, and it started getting odd, and just with money and shit and all of that, I ended up dropping it, but that's about the gist of what I know.
Okay.
But, yeah, the art is nice. It's flat, yet it pops. I don't know if that makes any
sense. That's probably a lot to his wife. His wife, the colorist, Laura Allred.
Okay. Yes, now I see that both of them are on it, but I like it a lot, and it's definitely pretty to look at. And
he's so good. Like, he's ridiculously good.
For an issue like this, which was kind of, it's goofy, but it was fun, kind of goofy, and not necessarily over the top, and it was a good time. So I would say 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, I give it a 5 out of 5, amigo. It had me in stitches.
I give it about a 5 out of 5, you know this.
Yes. Yeah, if you're a person, obviously we've talked about Wolverine the X-Men a lot, but the recap page is like, some bad stuff happened, don't worry about it, have fun with this. That's what the recap page is, and I thought, okay, here we go. Nice little done-in-one standalone issue that everybody seems to want, but nobody buys. Brian, did you do your review, or am I losing my mind? Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did my review already.
All right, here we go, because this is about to get confrontation up in this bitch. We all know, obviously I reviewed my Punisher, different Punisher review, and we know that Greg Rucka's run on the Punisher is ending in a couple more issues, but Punisher will also be joining the Thunderbolts, consisting
Woo-hoo!
Of the team.
Yay, Thunderbolts, yeah.
Consisting Woo-hoo! Of the team of Red Hulk, Woo-hoo! Venom, Elektra, and Deadpool. Am I missing anybody outside of Frank Castle? That's it. And I am of the mindset that every one of those characters are fine, except Frank Castle does not work well and it does not belong in a team book.
I'd say Elektra too.
Elektra too, but this is about Frank Castle. The thing about Frank Castle and the character I know, and for all I know, this could be fucking genius, but from my preconceived notions of who the character is and what the character I prefer to be, he doesn't work well with others that much, let alone superpowered beings doing other particular things. I prefer Frank Castle's interactions with the Marvel Universe to be very limited, not happen a lot. Obviously he exists in the Marvel Universe, but I don't want him to be fighting the Hulk or something like that. It's just something I don't think he would go out and do because he's not an idiot. And I hope they give a... I'm not going to read this book just because of that, but I'm not going to read this book at all, but I wonder whoever's reading it, if they give a actual plausible explanation to why he's on the team. Because out of all of them, it doesn't make sense to him to want to work with these people. Maybe he doesn't want to... Like Arnold was alluding to me before this, that maybe he doesn't work well, and that's the point of him. I just don't feel right with Frank Castle on a team book. It just doesn't sit well with me, at least how I prefer the character.
My side of that, Thunderbolts, I've always felt, dealt with people that either A, had no business being on a team, or had no business being a hero.
But
not saying that Frank Castle has no business being a hero. That,
or on a team book.
That I won't not. But
he's a hero in his own way.
He's right. Not a hero. He even knows this.
Right, he's even though he's killing a lot of fucking people, in some respect he's doing good, but just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean that it can't work. I can see where you're coming from, I can see why, just considering the way he operates and stuff, how he could be off for a team book, especially going up with somebody who is a general, although I don't know how much they still play.
I don't know why, like given who Roz is as a character,
Right.
I don't know why would Ross, maybe Ross doesn't pick this guy. But, like, exactly. I don't know. Like,
there's always the reason, because that's another thing about the Thunderbolts, too.
It's like Flash makes sense.
Not,
Flash is the only one on Hulk.
Not kind of like Suicide Squad. It was people that maybe didn't, them being there wasn't really their choice or the only option that was left for them, you know, that kind of regard.
Well, there's Thunderbolts where they were posing as heroes, then they became heroes.
Right. There's always different versions of
Thunderbolts.
Yeah, so. Some underlying themes to it. But they were always anti-hero type characters and things like that. So I don't, granted, we're neither one of us picking up this book, but we're still arguing this topic because I'm pretty sure I'm almost guaranteed not picking it up. But
it
could work.
I'll be picking it up.
I'm hoping it, well, you're going to, I want you, Brian.
Then you'll let us know. You have to review
it.
Please,
if there's a actual plausible, I'm not going to pick the book up regardless, but
it'll be the first book on my list. Don't you worry.
I want to know what is the reasoning for him to be here. Cause he just,
I'll let you know, Iggy. Don't you worry.
Him and Elektra. Deadpool, I can vaguely. It's Danny
Well,
White,
Deadpool,
so he's
remember, he's a mercenary. If you hire him, he'll pay him enough. He'll do whatever you want.
Ross can just punch him and that's it. But
he could just be like on retainer or something.
Wild cards,
you know, he'll be that guy.
Which I guess is interesting would be Elektra and Frank Castle. Elektra, fine. I don't care about Elektra. She's been irrelevant since Frank Miller worked with her 20, 30 years ago.
Ooh.
She has. She's really just lived off that. She died, and that's it. What else has she done memorable? It just doesn't sit well with me that Frank Castle's going to be on a team title. I know he's not going to change personalities, hopefully.
Right.
But I just...
I will say, I feel like those variant covers, the all red ones, the heroes on them, that's just an awesome set. Regardless of the story, I would get those just to have that.
Yeah.
You know, they could do what they did like in Ultimate Avengers back when they put Frank Castle on the Avengers team. Essentially,
that was a Black Ops squad, though. That's different.
Well, no, because he didn't even want to be on that team. But what happened was he had racked up such a body count that they were just hanging the noose over his head, basically, and said, hey, Frank.
I know.
Okay, so then you know that there are ways to get Frank to, if not indefinitely, but for a time, comply with what you want to do.
I don't know. I would think Frank was just like, you know, I got better things to do.
He probably thinks that, but you know, he's not stupid. He's a smart guy. He's a strategist. He knows what he's going to be doing. So it's like,
yeah, I don't know. I want to, again, it all comes down to why is he here? And there has to be a plausible reasoning for him to be in this.
I'll let you guys know when I pick up the first issue, because I will be picking this book up. So,
all right. Taser, do you have any, what do you have to say about this? And this is the fucking man who wanted to make the discussion, people.
I know, he lobbied for this crap, too.
Lobbied for this.
Grandpa, rather than you two go, you know, Rambo pre-show, you two had an issue, it would have been better to recorded it and share it with the interwebs rather than me have to, you know, suffer through it pre-show. That was really why I wanted it, because I didn't want to hear it. And, you know, you have you two have all of this bile and be throwing and wasting it on each other unrecorded. See, I did it for the show. I love the show. The show.
And I know you made the arguments, Arnold, that Arnold Wolverine does it like you would have figured. Like, the thing is, with
Wolverine does it with claws on. Anyway.
The thing with Wolverine on the Avengers in that, while, initially, and it could happen with Frank, I guess, that why the fuck is he here? But they gave a reasoning why Wolverine was the team. I guess they could do it to Frank again. I'm pretty sure they're the same people.
You have to do Frank again?
I'm pretty sure they...
Boozing!
I'm pretty sure I just... fucking tangents. Fucking tangents.
Disruptions! Woohoo!
I don't know.
Continue that thought.
It's just basically the same thing, is that, like, I understand, like, oh, who would have thought Spider-Man would have been an Avenger or a Wolverine been an Avenger?
I hold to my opinion. I still say Spider-Man brought nothing to the Avengers but dialogue. That's it, you know? And no other book is he ever really a factor except for AVX, what, fucking 7, where he gets his face punched in by Colossus, you know?
Well, I mean, they took the...
Even then, he's only useful as a punching bag.
Exactly! He's done nothing that's been like, hey, there's a good reason why we got Spider-Man.
From when I asked Bendis, when I asked him when I was in Seattle, I was like, why? I asked him personally, well, why was Spider-Man on the team? Because it's one of the things I wanted to ask him. And he said they wanted to do the Justice League approach where you put some of your big guns on your biggest team book. And arguably, maybe not in power set-wise, but certainly name recognition, Spider-Man and Wolverine are pretty much up there.
Yeah, but okay, has New Avengers really jumped up because Spider-Man's been on the book?
Not a damn bit.
Exactly, thank you. Popularity or sales?
What do you mean? Since when Bendis took over the book in 2004?
No, since Spider-Man's been on the book
since 2004. Yes, 2004.
He was on it since 2004?
Yes.
Holy shit.
He was one of their, because Bendis did Avengers Disassembled, broke up the team, then they launched New Avengers number 1 in 2004.
No. Because you had Civil War.
Civil
War.
He didn't join the team then. He was on the team before then.
Yes,
he was. Don't tell me he wasn't. I have the trade. I'm looking at it right now.
He wasn't. I'm saying it now.
He was. He was on the team.
Bri, I trust your judgment. I need a ruling.
He's on the team.
I honestly don't know because I don't give a shit about Spider-Man.
Arnold, back me up.
I missed some of that. What are you guys going on about?
Spider-Man was on the team with New Avengers number 1 in 2004.
If that's when New Avengers number 1 came out, then yes, he was one of the original members of the New Avengers.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then let me ask you this. How old did that book?
We're from the Raft breakout
yes.
and shit, right?
Come on.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
How well did that book sell?
It made it a top 10 book again.
For how long?
It was a top 10 book for years.
For years?
Yes.
So, you know, post-Civil War and the rest of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was
okay,
pretty
Okay, well, then you know what? It was independent
New Avengers,
of Spider-Man
New
being
Avengers
on the book.
It
was Bendis writing it, and B, Spider-Man's dialogue, not Spider-Man's character.
They wanted to use him on the Avengers books. Why not?
Again, just the dialogue, because that's really what Bendis does. Bendis's action is kind of bullshit. You know, it's substandard and even questionable, especially when you look at that one issue where they took down Count Nefaria. All right, but Spider-Man himself as a contributor to the team? Nil. Okay? Spider-Man contributes witty dialogue. That's it.
Nothing wrong with that.
All he brings. All right? I'm saying it. Now, whether you like him on the team or not, hey, that's a different story. Personal preference, I get that, you know? No more power to you. I can't say anything. But what I want when I look at a team, any team, regardless of company, it's who brings what. Like, I need 6 or 7 different guys who could all pick up a tank. No, I don't want a team like that. I like a variety. Spider-Man isn't even variety. Spider-Man's, and he's the kid. That's what Spider-Man is. And I don't want the kid on my team.
Well, the reason Steve picked him to begin with is because...
That's what the writers wanted him to do.
No. For a guy who doesn't care, I'm talking from within the story reason. When the Raft was going under, they were the particular group on there. Even Murdoch was on there, and even asked Murdoch.
So he just happened to be on hand.
They were all there when it happened, yes.
Yeah, so he just happened to be on hand. It wasn't hey, you know what? I'm going to make a team, and I'm going to pick this guy and this guy and this guy. It was, hey, you know.
No, that didn't happen until after
they said it was
Secret Invasion. He wasn't handpicked until after Secret Invasion.
Well, he was picked because Steve believed in that. It was just like the first – when the Avengers first formed. It was fate that joined them. Nothing else brought them together but fate. That was the whole thing.
Wait a minute. Secret Invasion. But wasn't that still during Dark Reign? That was after Civil War and at the start of Dark Reign.
I think we should end this because we're completely...
Dark Reign happened after Secret Invasion.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
Spider-Man was only handpicked on an Avengers team. Was on Avengers. He was only picked when the Heroic Age started. He was always on the team.
No, I wasn't trying to say that. But I was trying to make a comment about what Bri had just said and... Okay, I I derailed myself, so I retract that statement. But again, from my for what I've read of New Avengers, Spider-Man doesn't bring anything. That we're talking about a team with Spider-Man and later on Daredevil, Iron Fist, and
because he wanted to use him.
By the way, what the fuck has Daredevil done either? He hasn't done jack shit
exactly.
Since the Avengers.
It's just let's put this guy in there. Daredevil's brought nothing. Nothing. And the same thing with Spider-Man. The only thing he's brought is the dialogue. That is it. And so far as capability, no. Nothing.
I love how this turned into Spider-Man. I love it.
Well, this was about Spider-Man because we were talking about
this is about Frank Castle and
right, and this is, and what I was talking about earlier.
Frank Castle's a different animal than Spider-Man, though.
No, he's not. He's still a human.
Actually, Spider-Man's part spider, but whatever.
Yeah, he's got DNA traits. He's still a human.
He turned into a spider at once. Do we not remember this?
Yeah, that's because somebody advanced him and magic was involved in Madam Web and whatever the fuck. Does he still eat? Is he shitting out webbing from his ass? No.
Personality-wise, they're different. Better.
Did he poison Mary J. with the, you know, radioactive spider penis? No, he's still human. Thank you.
Frank Castle doesn't belong on a team book.
Yes, he does.
No, he does not. And we're gonna.
Yes, he does.
We're gonna wrap it.
Technically,
right
he's running a team right now. He has Rachel What's Her Face on him, so that's technically a team.
That's not a team.
It's a team. So what the hell were Batman and Robin all those years, jackass?
No, it's not a team. It's a squad. It's a two-man squad.
There's a difference between working with guys with Microchip or Rachel than joining a team that's led by fucking General Thunderbolt Ross, aka the Red Hulk, along with Venom. And Deadpool. That's a huge difference.
It is this number of people. That's about it.
Dick already.
I'm just saying it's a different thing. He didn't want Rachel to join. He took her under a wing. I fully believe the only reason Rachel's even there is so he could monitor her. So she
and masturbate at night.
Oh, God damn it. The only reason Rachel's there is because he allows her to be there so that way he can make sure that she doesn't do anything stupid. Because she was an emotional.
Gets horny,
I am talking. God damn it! Is so that
nobody
she was in
cares.
All right, fuck it, Arnold. You're going to New York Comic Con, right?
Yes, sir. 10 days.
All right, and you're going to be playing your new cosplay.
What? Yes.
All right, I'm going to be at Austin Comic Con. In case one of you lucky fucks out there want to come down to Austin and smoke a cigarette and have a beer, I'd be more than happy to share one with you. You're paying,
and talk
of
about Republicans. Yay!
I don't want to talk.
Mitt Romney. Woo!
What makes you think I like Mitt Romney?
I didn't say you did. You like
Paul Ryan.
Did you
check the picture I posted, Ben?
Yo.
Anyways, I'm fucking had it with Taser right now. I'll see y'all maybe next week.
Sounds like my last girlfriend. Anyway.
Yeah, she sent me a picture of her room in her new.
She's in Canada. How'd you know?
Let's adios, guys. I don't want to do this right now.
Taser rules.
All right.
You know your J's are numbered. Count them one by one. Like notches in the handle of an outlaw's gun. You can outrun the devil if you try, but you will never outrun the hands of time. In time there'll surely come a day. In time all things shall pass away. In time you may come back, some say, to live once more or die once more. But in time, your time will be no more. can hear what you're thinking.